Our speaker tonight is a native of Upton, Kentucky, which he tells me is about an hour's north of Bowling Green. And he grew up on a tobacco and cattle farm, where he developed a passion for flowers and gardens. And after completing a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in agriculture at WKU, he returned to Upton some 12 years ago to operate a flower shop there. 6 years ago, WKU called him back to teach courses in floriculture, and he's been doing that full and part-time for the past 6 years. He's a Kentucky master florist and holds certification from the American Institute of Floral Designers. And 2 years ago, through a personal connection, he was invited to be one of the floral designers for the annual Academy Awards. And last February, he returned as one of the 21 floral designers for the 79th annual Academy Awards. For the past 2 years, he's also designed floats for the Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena, California. He's been the topic of a YouTube video and featured on numerous flower websites. Please welcome our very own designer for the stars, Roger Dennis. Roger.
Thank you very much. This is a little different venue than I'm used to. I'm not used to being out in the middle of everything, but that's good. What we're going to do tonight is explore a little bit about what we actually do at the Rose Parade, at the floats, our design work that we do there, and show you just a little bit about how these floats are actually built. It's very interesting to see them up close and personal. You watch it on TV, and hopefully everyone here has watched the Rose Parade at least once in their lifetime. But it's very interesting to see how all this is done and how the tedious work that goes into this and the many months that it actually takes to produce each of the floats. And then halfway through the program, we'll skip over and go to Hollywood and explore a little bit about the Oscars and look at the flowers. And the sad part is the flowers that you don't see on TV. How many of you have watched the Oscars at least once or twice? How many of you all saw any flower arrangements when you're watching the Oscars? No, that's not the popular thing there. But we do have to make it absolutely beautiful for the stars as they walk down the red carpet, and it's a great experience being able to do that. To start out, it was very interesting when he was telling you about how I actually was able to do this. I do a lot of design work with the Society of American Florists, and at their convention, we were sitting and having lunch one day, and a good friend of mine who we lost this year to cancer was sitting there with us, and she made mention that she was saddened because she was not going to be able to go to the Rose Parade. And the guy that was sitting there happened to be the design coordinator for Charisma Floats, and I just jokingly said, well, we can go, and the rest is pretty much history. And we also, and I hope I have, I think I have a picture of it, we also do the stagecoaches for Wells Fargo at the Rose Parade, and we were working on the stagecoaches up on a ladder when Larry Crane, the owner of Charisma Floats, comes out, and he said, guys, get down here. And I thought, okay, what do we do? You know, because I've heard these horror stories when you're working on the floats, they come by and they tell you, you know, you got to rip all this out and start all over again. And it does happen. And I thought, okay, we're going to have to go redo a whole float. And when we stepped down off the ladder, he said, I would be honored if you all would come and help us with the Oscars. And so that's just kind of how it all happened. I was kind of in the right place at the right time. And as a friend of mine says, I'm probably one of the luckiest people on earth, but thank God that I get to do things like this, because it is real intriguing. Starting out here, I wanted to show you a little bit about, this has nothing to do with flowers, but this is the framework of the floats as they start working on these during the summer months. I actually talked to Larry a couple of weeks ago, and they had already got, one and a half of the floats already built as far as the metalwork and everything, and they're actually starting on the third one. We're going to be working on three this year. And you can see here, all this is outside, and actually these guys that you see in the white coats, those are official parade people and mechanics that have to come out and test all the floats. Everything has to be tested before they're actually taken to the work site to finish them. If you look, there's a lot of screen. You can start seeing some characteristics of the float right here. That's actually a dove. There's a little flower basket and various different things. And there's actually a swing here that actually swung back and forth that someone sat on. So there's a lot of mechanics to all of this as they're building it. Of course, it's built on a chassis and has wheels. It is a automobile, basically, that someone has to drive. As we're going along, we see more characteristics, more things taking place here. This particular float was Rotary International, and it was the mother duck and all the little babies behind her. And you see the flowers here. These are poppies, and they'll eventually take some form of color. Everything is covered with a screening, and you see here they're starting to put some color on there, the yellow on the baby ducks. It's sort of like a paint-by-number deal, basically, the way this thing works. And they do paint everything, and you kind of follow the color code there. The ducks were actually in a swampy area, and you can see some of the fencing taking place here. They're starting to develop that. This is just them doing some mechanical work, checking to make sure everything is okay. This lady right here is actually what we call a spotter, and she rides on the float as a character. Everyone on the float is a character. And she rides on the float. She has an earpiece and a microphone, and she talks to someone who's sitting down in here about where this guy's leg is, and that's where the guy sits and drives. He has no clue where he's going other than following a line on the parade route. He looks down at that line the whole time, and she tells him where he needs to turn, where he needs to start turning, and how sharp. Again, they're just starting to test things. They're probably getting ready to move this float to the tent where we actually work on it. This is the same one. It's the same one as it develops. I'm going to show you two. Now, three. There's three on there. If you have any questions as I'm going along, go ahead and ask, because Mary is sitting there. And they sit on a board, basically. There's nothing glamorous about it. Of course, you can see all the metal work. If you're into welding, this is a welder's dream. Jack Rudolph should be here because he probably said those welds aren't even good. But there's a lot of work goes into these.
Okay. You have somebody that actually draws the blueprint out.
Yes. The artist who does a lot of the renderings for the parade, his name is Raul Rodriguez, and a very interesting man. I don't think I should have stuck a picture of him in here. He comes into the tent and actually watches us work and tells us if we're doing a good job or not, or actually, you know, actually portraying what he actually drew. But what's interesting, he has a rare parakeet that he has with him at all times, and that travels off his shoulder. So it's a very interesting man, but very talented, because he does this every year. And he usually about 20 to 25 of the folks that you see is the ones that he's actually done the artist rendering for. What this guy right here is doing, he's actually spraying on foam. And this foam actually dries and hardens. And this is actually the decking of the float. And later on, I'll show you how the decking is actually finished. But all of the decking is done. And what's interesting about the decking, this is part of it that you can actually walk on. There are parts of the float we cannot walk on. Every part of the float you can walk on is painted forest green. But he has to go around and spray this all the way around the float. Yes, everything is covered. Every float is covered with some form of organic material. It may be cotton. It may be some form of seed. One of the things you keep looking through, one of the things about this particular float, a lot of it was covered with status. And the people that were actually doing the status, they take little cups of status flower and they take scissors and they will set and chop it with the scissors. And they have volunteers that sit and do this for hours and hours and hours. And they will take them up and someone will look at them and say, okay, that's good. If it's not, then they go back and they chop some more. A lot of the mixture is done. You can see here they're starting to color this. It's brown. Okay. They started to paint the tall grass. Looks like cattails sticking up out of the swamp. Just some more of the figures. This is actually the framework starting of a building that the University of Redlands last year also celebrated their 100th anniversary. they decided to have a float in the Rose Parade. When they were doing this, they spent probably $500,000, I would say, on this particular float. But it was very interesting. I got to meet the president of the university, and I had just mentioned that we were celebrating our 100th anniversary as well. And so he was pleased. Now you can see all the color of the float. And like I said, all this is kind of color coordinated. And as you see the float when we finish it, we will have orange poppies, and we'll have yellow ducklings, and the mother duck there will have white on her. This is the University of Redlands float starting to take shape. And their mascot is a bulldog. And those little round balls that you saw earlier, that's the sitting here. And this will eventually become a building, and then they'll have a clock tower up behind it.
That is still-
no, no, it's a building that's on the university, actually. City of West Covina, that's the other club that you saw that had all the doves on there. And it was Love and Blue was the theme of this particular float. What's interesting about this float is that the city actually sponsored it for many years, and it got to be so costly for the city that they decided they didn't want to do it anymore. So the citizens decided that they would lose their identity if they did not keep this going. And so they actually do fundraisers throughout the year and actually make enough money to have this float in the parade every year. And these people, when you work on their float, they absolutely love you. You get more hugs and praises and thank yous than anywhere else in the world. You can see the green decking here. That's all the area that you can walk on. And what's interesting about this float, you can see it's very busy. There's a lot of things on there, a lot of ducks, a lot of fencing and everything. It was very cramped and very hard to work on. That particular float, I laid on my back most of the day designing. I've never in my life actually done design work on my back, but I actually laid down and designed flowers and then would have to get up and go out and look at it from a distance to even see if it was correct. But as you can see, there's a lot of work goes into this as far as just building and getting the float ready for production. This is before I ever do any flowers. During the testing phase, if you see here, these are all these are where people have to stand, and they're seat belted in, and they stand there throughout the whole parade, which lasts about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. There's the swing. These are the I guess the president and vice president of the West Covina that actually do the fundraisers and do all the work, and they really do work hard. At the parade itself, the decking has flowers that are put in water tubes, and the people of West Covina actually sell water tubes for you to write your name on so that you can have your name on the float and be a part of it. And we put the flowers in the tubes. And they're still going through all the testing process. This is where the guy actually sat and drove this one. If you remember earlier, where it was a little over where you could see it. This is an artist rendering of the University of Redlands. This is what the float's supposed to look like. The renderings look so huge sometimes, and then when you actually work on the float, you think, okay, what happened to that big float I was working on? But still, it's quite massive. This is inside the tent where we actually do the work, and now you see that float that was all framework earlier. It's all color-coded for us to actually start putting all the dried materials and all the flowers and everything on there. My primary purpose of being there is as a floral artist. All we do is the floral arrangements on the float. I have nothing to do with the dry product, processing it, getting it ready, or anything of that nature. So most people get there before Christmas. They work about a week before Christmas and start putting the dry product on. And when we get there, hopefully when we get there, some of it's ready for us to do some of the fresh work. But it doesn't necessarily always happen. Of course, it's Christmas time, which is a good thing because there's a lot of Christmas trees left over, and that becomes the decking for the floats. And that just is laid on, it's stapled onto the float, and then we go back and we put flowers over the top of that. So these are all recycled Christmas trees. We get there on the 26th, and on the 26th, we actually start receiving flowers by the truckloads. And these flowers all come in buckets, and fortunately the guy that we work with brings them in one truck, and that one truck goes to one float, so we do not have to sort them. But every stem of flowers has to be counted, and fortunately, apparently I'm the only one that knows how to count there, because I get that job every year, and it's not fun, but after a few thousand, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 stems, they finally get counted. But you can see here, these are volunteers, these are students, and all the students in California have to do some community volunteer work, and that's part of their high school career. And they have to, I think it's maybe 60 hours a year or something like that. So as part of that, they come and work on the floats and help do those. But you can see massive quantities of roses, carnations. These are florgine carnations, which actually come from Australia. Those are used on the rose that is put on the Wells Fargo building is actually made out of carnations. And the last 2 years, they've done it out of florgine carnations and white carnations. We get the plugs in. Once they get them in and get set up, this is what I see when I walk in on the 26th. A lot of scaffolding and a lot of float, and hopefully some progress being made. When we walk in, they have actually started, like I said, the week before doing drive work, and we then get to start climbing and working from the scaffolds and doing various different things as far as design. The doves and the bulldog were covered in coconut. And so a lot of things smell really good. So you smell coconut for a few days and you don't want coconut pie that night. But the inside of the tent is all the flowers. All the flowers are put in groups together according to whichever float they go with. And hopefully everything is marked correctly. It's kind of funny. These are buckets that we use at the Oscars also. These are actually for the motorcade. The red roses that you can see, it's still got red carpet marked on there from the previous Oscars. This is the rose with the foraging carnations put on there. And it looks just like a rose when it's done. It looks like nothing but a little pattern artwork here. But when it's hung on a wall, it's really gorgeous.
What are you touching?
It is actually chicken wire in the floral industry. It's called poultry netting. But we use poultry netting, and that covers the framework. And, of course, there again, they weld all of it and make all the different shapes of it with the iron. But then it's covered with the poultry netting, and then it's covered with a thin piece of paper, and it's painted over the top of that to kind of make it a little bit more durable. And then they actually glue and stick the carnations through. And they're not in water. They're just stuck on. Glued on. And they use swale leaves or lemon leaf to make the leaves of the rose. They're actually covering this. These are the trees. They're actually covering those with bark. And all these little bitty cages, there are approximately 54 on this particular float. And all 54 of them contain somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 stems of orchids. And I know that personally because I did probably about 35 of them. Now you can see, this is what we do. This is a big urn full of flowers, and here's another cage of flowers. We call this our mini casket spray on this one. And I actually did a larger casket spray on the back of the bulldog. And you can see here all the scaffold work, and we have to climb up and down and go various different positions just to get onto this float and work on it. Like I said, sometimes we get to sit down, sometimes we stand up, and most of the time we're laying on our back, just whatever it takes to get it done. We're setting up the scaffolding right here and getting ready. On the back of this bulldog, I told you earlier, I did a huge casket spray. That's basically what it looked like. But that was one of the unique things about this one. I designed it sight unseen. I was up there, but I couldn't tell what I was doing. Someone told me where to place everything from the ground. Remember earlier I told you this is status all over the duck here. And I just have to say it. I pretty much for 12 hours one day laid underneath duck butts, if you can say that in public. But anyway, and that's how that float got done. Pampas grass there, the clues from that. It all has to be natural. Everything has to be covered with an organic material. Dried is okay. As long as it's some form of time, it was a plant material or organic of some sort. It could be vegetables. The interesting thing about the dough, this is the stagecoach where they're unloading, getting ready to do dough. The interesting thing about the ducks, the very first day that we got there, when we went in for our meeting, one of the very first things we were told that we had to eat oranges the whole week. And we did not eat just one orange a day. We ate 3 or 4 oranges a day. And I asked the question, why am I eating so many oranges? Just to stay healthy or what? And the reason why is the duck's feet were all covered in orange peels. And I finally learned how to peel an orange without splitting the rind or skin of the orange in pieces. They wanted them solid pieces so they could cut them and make them whatever size they could use. Here, this is not the most glamorous job there. And the reason being is because if you, and this table's not my favorite right here, these have to be approximately 9 inches, and they have to be approximately 9 inches. And you try to train a bunch of people to measure something is just unbelievable. There's tape on the table. They have to measure the carnation, and then they put it in the water tube, and then they have to measure the carnation in the water tube. If it's not 9 inches, then you do not use it. Because on the decking of the float, everything has to be smooth. You can't have a lot of waves in it. So that's a very meticulous thing you have to do. And these are all volunteers. And most of them are just there because they just want to see something. They want to see what's happening. And some of them are to be serious. We had one lady that we moved her for about 7 or 8 jobs before we ever could get her to do what she was supposed to do correctly. But you can see here, these are some of the water tube flowers. We do have a reefer truck or a cool truck that we put them on to keep them cool and keep them fresh. And we use roses, carnations, various different flowers just for those. I did this one. It's supposed to be a waterfall thing. I did this one. That's my big casket spray that I told you I set up here and work. And there was someone who stood down on the ground and told me where to place all the stems into that one. It took 6 hours to do that.
Is that the
actual blanket here?
Yes. What is that?
What's it made out of? It's actually like a foam core board is what it's made out of. And they have a gentleman that does all of the all of this. He cuts everything out. And the amazing thing about this, he measures nothing. He does it all from sight. He's phenomenal. All the little details are, and you'll see some other things that he's done. It's just absolutely amazing how he can do that without measuring and actually tracing or whatever. We do the drum. This is actually a drum that at the beginning of the parade that they come through and they hit to start off the parade and do flowers on them. This is the judging process. Remember the orchid tree I told you about? That's what it looked like finished. These are all orange trees, not real orange trees, but trees covered with lemon leaf and then actual oranges pushed into those. This particular float, you just flip through. This particular float, the University of Redmond's float, we were still working on the orchid trees when the judging started in our tent. And I was on a high boy thing, and whenever they got closer, they radioed me and told me that I need to get away from the float. They pulled me back. Those weren't quite finished, but close. These are real oranges. Those are real oranges. Real maple oranges. Okay?
I thought you showed that it's something where people get buried.
Oh, yeah.
So do you work along beside the other people that are judging?
Yeah, the people that are doing all of this detail work as far as the dry materials and all that, they're working at the same time that we're working. What's supposed to happen, and it didn't on this one, what's supposed to happen, they're supposed to get done with a section. And as they get done with a section, then we move in and we start on the floral part. This float, there was some problems. It just didn't happen that way. There was a lot of mechanical problems with this float. That clock tower, they couldn't get the get it to lift up. And when they got when they started working on it, everything fell apart, and they worked on it for 24 hours just to get it back to where they could actually get the mechanics to work correctly. And there's the real fast guy. It's a real bulldog. Real, and he was about as lazy as he looked. But the judging takes place, and people stand around and watch, and all the characters have to be on the float, and they actually have music on each float, and they walk around and look at everything. And it's very interesting just to watch that take place. And then everyone cheers. Okay.
Do you get to pick the type of flowers, or do they have that laid out?
No, everything is laid out for you. Yeah, everything's laid out for you. Don't, on our designs that we do, we get to kind of do the design ourselves. The flowers are there. We're told what is actually used for each floral design, but we actually get to do the design ourselves. We get to be creative there. But everything else is pretty much laid out for us. Once the judging takes place, we're the last tent that's actually judged, which we're fortunate because we get an extra day almost to work on them as opposed to the other tents. And when it's done, then the floats automatically start going out the tent to the parade route. These floats leave about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they do not get to the parade route until about 11 or 12 o'clock that night. There are some floats that it takes almost 16 hours to go from their work site to the parade route, just to drive them there. And that, remember that little compartment I told you about? There's the next one. Remember the little compartment I told you about the guy sits in? He's got to sit in that for 16 hours to get it to the parade route. Then he gets out and he takes a nap. And when this all fell apart, this whole back end was demolished, and we covered it, and you couldn't tell it that anything happened to it. And that was repaired in about an hour and a half.
What kind of material was this, sand, brick, or whatever?
That was actually, if I remember correctly, I think that was actually sphagnum moss that was chopped up, and they sprayed it different colors to make that different, all the different tones there. That's those orange trees going to be. And all this, the gentleman I told you about, he actually cut all that out himself as well, pre-handed. There's the Wells Fargo stagecoaches that we do as well. We put sprays on them. And this year, Wells Fargo had some kind of special thing. If you opened up some kind of special account, you got a horse. So they're all horse-drawn. And these actually, Miss America actually wrote on one of these this year. And those poppies all had roses down in the center of them with oncidium orchids coming out, kind of spraying out at them. The tongue of the duck is actually covered in poinsettias. The blooms, the actual red of poinsettias, the bracts, as well as the ribbon. Of course, there again, Christmas time, so all the leftover poinsettias from all the stores were brought in and used. And then we use just a lot of little hand-tied bouquets. There's all the little ants coming off the anthill. And you can't really tell on the duck's feet the orange peels that we actually used.
And berries on them?
I think those were, those were some type of berry on those. There was a lady last year, the year before, that sat for 4 days and actually put beans on a seat to make it looked just like a couch, an old Victorian couch. And she sat and did that for about, like I said, 3 or 4 days. She's about 75 years old, but she loves it. These are ginkgo leaves on the bottom. These are called fantasy flowers. They're just gladiolus that are cable tied to little posts coming out of the arrangement. All the hearts were done in carnations. These were just glued in. Yes.
Do they have an exact number of bingo that's going to fill to those hearts, or is it just guesswork?
They probably, on those, they have a pretty good idea of how many they need. They've done this for about 30 years, so they're pretty good at it. We use just about every flower that we get, and I think you can probably average about 30,000 to 40,000 stems per float. Quite expensive. No, that is all done by the float coordinator. They do all the design work on that. The only thing that we do is all the fresh flowers that you see around on the decking and all these arrangements around the sides. But it's unique how they all come together, you know, and form and shape.
You're being very modest about how you're selected. Tell us about the process of going through your certification.
Oh.
How many people have you talked to you about?
About eight, I think now. I'm a member of the American Institute of Floral Designers, and what Dr. Poppy's talking about, it's a testing process that we have to go through, and this testing process takes about 4 hours, and we go into a room, sight unseen. We've never seen anything. We've not seen the product that we're going to be working with. The only thing that we know is the night before, well, mine was the night before, now they actually do it the same day. We did find out exactly what we were going to use, but we only had a few hours to look at it, or an hour to look at it, and then we go back and start designing. We have to design in 5 categories, wedding, sympathy, some type of get well, or an everyday arrangement, birthday or whatever, usually a centerpiece of some sort for a party, and then a designer's choice. You have to score 25 points on each of the designs. We have 7 evaluators that go through and actually do the evaluation, and it's very difficult to get in. This year they had 135 or something of that nature that tested, and I think only 42 people passed out of those 135. I was fortunate enough to pass my first year. And we, like I said, I think there's 8 in the state of Kentucky.
They give you a passport to do inauguration.
Yes. Yeah. That's how this kind of all started about 3 or 4 years ago, whenever Bush was inaugurated. I lost track of what year it was, but I actually did flowers in the inauguration. I was on the official design team through Society of American Florists to work on the inauguration, and then also the Oscars and the Rose Parade. So, and I've been a member, creative member, for about 4 years now. This is the same tent that we worked in before, but on a different location. We're now in Hollywood, near Kodak Theater is where we actually do all the work. And this is my friend that passed away this year, sweet, 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 sweet person. But there again, you can see the process of us having to count and get the flowers ready and reprocess the flowers. This is our design team. This is our design team again. This is actually one of the interviewing stages there at the Oscars. There again, we use somewhere around 70,000 to 80,000 stems of flowers. At the Oscars, we also use around 3,000 potted plants as well. We work a little bit everywhere. This is actually in a parking garage, and some more friends of mine that are working there. And you see our design coordinator, Rich, pointing out our faults and what we need to actually work on. Everything has to be done a certain way. We actually work here on floral arrangements to go into all of the actors' dressing rooms. Each designer gets a task. We're all in charge of a certain area. When we start working on the flowers for our particular area, we have to design them. And then the director comes and tells us whether or not if it's what he wants. If it's not what he wants, he tells us how to fix it. And then we have to fix that, and we have to have him come back and look at it again. I don't know who that is, but somebody famous. There's a lot of cameras, that's all I can tell you. Each one of the interview stages has flowers on it. This is the entrance to Kodak Theater, and you can see the plastic covering here. That is covered and left there until Thursday or Friday, depends on the weather. If the weather forecasters say it's clear, then all of that is completely taken down. If they say it's not going to be clear, then it's left up. And there has been times when everything has changed the night before, and everyone stays up all night long to make sure that it's all taken care of and it's all done. I actually did a floral arrangement that went in Celine Dion's dressing room. But there's some tedious work to do all this. This was actually what they call the green room. It's one of the press rooms. And the designer that was supposed to do the flowers for that, they didn't like it. They threw it all away, and they called us and asked us to do them. And so that got done, and they did all the arrangements, got them all up there. And after they got them up there, they still didn't like part of them, so they threw those away, and they kept 3 of them. and I think they made 22. So it's very different. You can't take anything personal when you're there. You just go and you do it, and you're happy if they like it, and if they don't, you go, okay, we'll try something new. But you can see all of the designs are very vertical, a lot of groupings, and I kind of did a little sampling over here on the table of some, sort of what the arrangements would be like. But in each of these arrangements, you know, we're working with 300 or 400 stems of flowers, not just, you know, 20 or 30 or whatever the case might be here. Here you can see this is a monitor screen, and they're making sure that you can see them, making sure everything is centered correctly. We walk around with a walkie-talkie on us at all times, and when we get done with an area, if the director comes through and there's a problem with it, then we are radioed and we're told to go back to where we were before, and there's something wrong. And when we get there, we have to fix it, and fix it quickly in some cases. These are the Oscars. You can see the cranes are actually setting these up. And this particular setting right here is at the entrance of the red carpet where all the limousines come in. And in this particular area, what they're doing is getting ready to shoot the preview for the Oscars itself. And this is what you saw at every commercial break. They will show this particular scene. There was smoke coming up from the back to kind of cover those windows. See there? And they started shooting this around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think they finally got it about 10 o'clock that night, the way that they liked it. And it was much prettier at night than it was during the day when they started shooting. These little boxes you see here, and I didn't bring it with me, but we all wear a tag that has our name on it, and it has our picture on it, and it has a barcode on the inside. And when we go into a secured area, we have to scan our tag, and that there's a security person stands there, and there's a screen that comes up and has all of our information on there, who we are, where we've been before, and what parts of the secured areas that we've been in. That was the awards walk, and at every point there has to be a flower. If there's a spot where the star comes to and stops them, then there has to be a full arrangement. And the next spot, and so on and so forth. I know in the articles that some of y'all may have read about me going out there this year, I said that we were going to use a lot of white, and it was going to be very gardening with a lot of greenery and all those things. When we got there, everything had been scratched. They totally changed the whole thing about a month before, and they had to reorder flowers because they wanted more color. So you see a lot of red, you see oranges, you see yellow, you see white. So everything was a little bit different than we were used to. We walked up and down the red carpet the whole week. These are concrete barricades. When you go down the street, a half mile down the street, there's concrete barricades. And another mile down the street, there's more concrete barricades. Everybody said, aren't you nervous about going there, you know, with security and all the stuff that's going on? I said, no, all these places I go to are probably the safest places in the world at that time, because there's no way of getting in there. We do some work on site. These are arrangements that we were working on right there. Yeah, stretching my head, thinking, what am I doing? We worked on all these arrangements here, and the whole time we were working on it, there was someone that had a camera sitting there on us, and I didn't realize this guy was actually doing a time-lapse video of us working. And one morning on Good Morning America, I just happened to switch the TV on, was sitting, putting my shoes on. I looked up, and there I was. For a split second. But we got all that done, and the one on the right-hand side, the day of the show, I get a call on the radio, and they say, we've got an emergency at the exit of the security tent. And I take off this as hard as I could go, and someone had knocked every bit of it down and had to redo it. You can see it gets very busy on show day. That's all the different reporters, cameramen, setting everything up. Pretty much from about 11 o'clock until 3 o'clock that afternoon, it's just nerve-wracking. We can't hardly get around. We really like to have all of that done if we can, but it doesn't happen that way. And there's a lot of people in our way. They're supposed to actually stand. They have bleachers where they stand all along this side right here. and they have a spot that's marked off with tape, and they have to stand in that spot the whole time. This is the entrance to the red carpet. You see Oscar there. The stars come in and go into the building. And what's interesting about that spot, the morning of the show, some camera people left bags laying there, and the whole area was blocked off. We had to get away, and they had to send bomb squads in just to check it to make sure there wasn't bombs in the bags. And they opened them up and took them away. Of course, we all stood there and watched it like dummies. These are all in dressing rooms. This is the interview area as they leave the stage. These are all grandstands. It's a lottery system where you can win and actually go in and watch. And 3 days before the show, they have to go and go through a security check and get security clearance before they can actually go to the show itself. We sat at the entrance right here, and we're able to watch all the stars come in on the red carpet. The limos line up and down the street, and it's pretty amazing, actually, to see all that happen. And there's some of my work. You're in charge of one area, and then you're an assistant on another area. I was assistant on that area, and I think, hopefully in a minute, I think we passed it up. There's some work that I actually did myself, but you can see there how busy it gets. And you know that picture you guys used for the... That picture's been used so many times. I don't know what happens. Myself and the Oscar get shorter and fatter every time. This is the entrance to the theater. These are all arrangements that I did. Last year I was an assistant on this particular area. This year I was actually the director for that particular area. And it was my baby. We had an Oscar down on the floor. This is looking at it from up above. We had new flowers all around. And the person was assisting me, wanted to do it one way, and I was told to do it another way. And the person, the actual floor designer in charge, told him to leave and tell me to do it correctly. But these are actually little ledges that are on columns there that we actually were able to put these designs in. Last year we had to put them on gold boxes that were really packed. This is looking down at the red carpet outside. Going outside the entrance of the Kodak Theater. We do get to go watch the rehearsal the night before. The only big thing about that is we get to see the stars or the people who perform or actually have singing parts in the actual production itself, the actual show. And there's planter boxes. The year before, that whole area was lined with azalea topiaries and azalea bushes, white azalea topiaries and azalea bushes. And Mr. Leichhardt, you've never seen any like them. They were absolutely gorgeous. They were huge. They were full. And the whole thing was just a ball of azalea blooms. And this was pretty, but I think the year before was even prettier with all that white. Used a lot of white the year before. So that's it. Do you have any questions about the Oscars itself? Actually, he said 21. There's actually 14. There was actually just 14 designers this year. And it pretty much has stayed around 14. We have... the Charisma Clubs has a staff, and that staff does assist us and does help us, which is really neat. But it's just the 14 of us actually designing. We start working at 8:00 in the morning. We have a general meeting, and at that meeting, we find out what needs to be done or what's happened or what's changed, and then we're told go to your assigned areas and start working, and we work until. Usually about 6 or 7 o'clock. If we're told at 7 o'clock, we go back to the tent. And if we're told to keep our radios with us, we know that we're going to have to come back and work that night. If we're told to turn our radios in, we shout and we go, all right, and we get to leave and we can go out to eat and relax a little bit. In the 2 years I've been there, we've had to keep our radios on us 2 different nights. And only one night we had to actually go back and work. They have had years where they've had to stay and work all night long and work 24 hours the night before the actual show. And the bad part about this, that is you stay up all night and work, and then you have to work through the day and finish out the day. And then, you want to go see the stars come in. So guess what? You're up about 48 hours. So... But I brought a little bit of stuff with me. This is actually our jackets that we wear. This is a Charisma Clubs insignia, and you can come up and look at these. These are buttons that we get each year for the clubs that we actually work on, which is kind of interesting. And those are all designed, and they actually sell those there. and to make a little extra cash, I guess.
Pass that around?
Yeah, you can pass it around. This is our Oscar wear, okay, as we call it. We are able to buy Oscar clothing, jackets, and so on and so forth, so I have a jacket. The funny thing is, the first year, it just said Oscar. So for a whole year, I was called Oscar, and that's okay. But this is this past year, since the Oscars. If you would like to come by my office at the university in the agriculture department, I do have Oscar posters hanging on my wall. We did get the official Oscar poster, like you saw, I was standing by. And this year it looks something like this. With all of the, it's got different titles, different lines from all the different movies that have actually won an Oscar for that particular year. So there's different things on there, and it has a little Oscar on the front. And the reason why it's so big, it's on the size of it left. Okay? But there again, if I get shorter or fatter, I can wear it. Yeah, they shut down streets. They actually, in Pasadena, they have to shut down the streets to allow the parade floats to come in. They're just used to it. This has went on for years. It's 100, I don't even remember now. So they're used to it. And so they actually shut down the streets and they have to just work around it. And that goes on for several days in some cases, depending on what, you know, how they're moving and what they're doing. When we're having dinner the night before on New Year's Eve, when we're having dinner in this restaurant we always go to, we actually set, it's in a little garden room, and it's got a lot of windows, and it's in the front. They reserve that for us just because we want to sit there and watch the floats go up and down the street. So the traffic will be moving through, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing. And we're talking about a major street in Pasadena. And I think it's like a three-lane highway, you know, four-lane highway or whatever. And all of a sudden, everything stops, and you start seeing flashing lights, and there's police escorts, and they start moving through. And they'll move two or three floats through, and they get those through, and then the street goes back to normal. And then about 30 minutes later, everything stops, and they start moving another one, another section through. And then there's a lot of bands and a lot of, you know, various other things besides that. Well, actually, when we were there, of course, being a florist, you know, we put everything in the cooler to preserve it. When we were there this past year, in the mornings that we would go, there would be frost on the windshields of our cars. Okay, so it's in a valley. Pasadena's in a low valley. It seemed like to me it got dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, literally. So it got cool. The warmest it's ever been during the day when I was there was about 80 degrees. And still then, it's a cool 80 degrees. But then in the morning, you know, during the night, it gets really, really cold. So we start out in the morning with t-shirt, sweatshirt, and jacket. And then we start, you know, layering off. And then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like I said, sweatshirt goes back on. By 6 o'clock, the jacket's back on. And sometimes I wish I had more because it gets really, really cold, especially if it's raining. It's a really cold rain. But they stay fresh. We've not had any problem with anything going down. So
one more question, and then we'll do the door prize.
Yes.
How long does it take you to the arrangements that you have?
Those? 15 minutes.
Well, he's a master florist.
15 minutes. 15 minutes. I'm very... The people I work with just blows their mind because I'm very fast. Of course, I've owned the shop for, what, about 13 years in November, I think. And we were in a situation where there were only two of us for a long time. And this is where I started teaching, now there's more of us. But anyways, So when we have funeral work in our town, we may have 60, 70, 80 arrangements. Dr. Coffey always asks me when he sees me, anybody young died lately? Because it's always a big funeral. And you hate to say it, but you can always catch up. If it's someone young, you always end up with a lot more orders. So he knows I've been busy and I've made money, okay? And what happens if they're older? There's nobody left, okay? But you hate to say that, but it happens. But yes, if there is a situation where the family cannot afford flowers, we do donate flowers. We do fix flowers for people. Because there's one thing that I absolutely hate is to walk into a funeral home and there not be flowers on someone's casket. That is the saddest thing you can ever see. We actually had someone pass away a few weeks ago, and the gentleman used to be a janitor in our local elementary school, and it was just he and his wife, and his wife passed away. There's no family. And when I took the flowers, we took the flowers, it was a casket scrape, and there was one little basket that she didn't have a sister, her sister ordered. That was it. Someone went for visitation, and I actually had someone call me and order flowers because there was not any flowers there. You want something. And it's a different business, but you know, like you said, the most we've ever done for a funeral is 137 arrangements for one funeral.
Have you worked out
with people? On the phone? No. Because the reason why, you see where this is the way I was told to design. Is that on? The way I was told to design on the close, where you see these flowers, you see a lot of grouping, okay? And that's to get full impact. If I was designing on a float and I was using snapdragons for this, I wouldn't use six that you have here. We would probably use somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40 or 50, okay? And so you have to do a massive amount of grouping. So I was told you design by the bunch, like the status. I don't take a piece of status, I take a whole bunch of status, and you push a whole bunch of status into the arrangement at one time. So it's a little different. It's very difficult arrangement, but you have to think a little bit more. But you're not going to get impact from the street. You want the impact from the street. And everything has to be from camera side, everything has to be a certain design, and everything has to be turned a certain way and designed a certain way. If it's not, then the camera doesn't pick it up, and then the people watching it doesn't pick it up. So you've got to do a massive amount of flowers in one version.
What is it
that
you have
to
put on the
display on? No. In these, we actually use the Oasis foam or aqua foam, which absorbs the water, and everything's covered. You have to do your containers and everything's covered with poster day, keep in mind, and that helps hold the flowers in place.
Well, on behalf of WCU Libraries, I want to congratulate Dr. Roger.